السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وی کم ناؤ ٹو دی سریہ آف عبداللہ بن جہش رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم had dispatched this army which consisted of just 12 Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiyallahu ta'ala was their leader, and there were 12 of them. They only had 6 camels, so they were taking turns to ride the camel. One would walk, one would ride the camel, like that they would alternate taking turns like this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiyallahu ta'ala a letter with the instruction that he must only open it after 2 days. He told them, must take a certain route. Instructions are in this letter, but you only open this letter after 2 days. And then he told him that when you see the instructions in this letter, you must not compel your companions to carry these instructions out. Whoever wants to carry it out, they must carry it out. Whoever doesn't want to carry it out, they can return. They don't have to carry it out. So this expedition consisted of Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Utbah bin Ghazwan radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Waqid bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Miqdad bin Amr radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Huzaifa bin Utbah radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Amir bin Rabi'ah radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Khalid bin Bukair radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Amir bin Iyas radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ukasha bin Mihsan radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Suhail bin Bayda radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Safwan bin Bayda radiyallahu ta'ala, and the Amir was Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiyallahu ta'ala. The least we could do to pay tribute to these Sahaba radiallahu anhum is take their name once in our life. At least we took their name one time. Khair. So these 12 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they traveled for 2 days, and after 2 days they opened the letter. The letter stated that they must go to Nakhla. They must proceed to a place by the name of Nakhla. And this place is situated between Makkah Mukarramah and Taif. So they are going now very close to Makkah Sharif. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has sent them to go and observe what the Quraysh are up to. This is what I am saying, that look at Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had his finger on the pulse with regards to everything. Besides just teaching us deen, he has shown us that part of deen is all of this. All of this is part of deen. To be a good administrator, leadership skills from the political front, to know exactly what is going on, all this is extremely important. So he sends and he says to them that you send us news about the Quraysh. And then he is addressing Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, that you must give your companions the option. Those that wish to accompany you to Nakhla, they may come. Those who want to return to Medina Munawwara, they can return to Medina Munawwara. Now what was the hikmat behind this instruction? I mean, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have told them from Medina Sharif that go away to Nakhla. One wisdom behind this was, in Medina Munawwara there were many munafiqeen, there were many hypocrites. Now if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to tell them from the beginning, you're going to Nakhla, now they would have told their family members or something. These Sahaba were all very strong Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There was no question of nifaq in them. But they would have told their friends or their family or somebody, you know, we're going to Nakhla. And the word would have got out, it would have got into the munafiqeen's ears, and they would have sent this intelligence to the Quraysh. So this was one hikmat, one wisdom. But the main reason was that, you see, many a times it happens. I remember when I just was almost completing Hivs, so one of my asatiza is late now, Qari Barkatullah, Rahmatullah Ali Allah Pakfur is covered with Noor. But he was going home to Mewat. But he was going via Umrah. He was going to go to Mewat. And he had studied in Jalalabad. So he was going to go to Jalalabad for a few days. And thereafter he would go home to Mewat. So my father asked me, "See, you want to go with Qari Sahib? You go for Umrah. And then you go and stay in Jalalabad, the Khanka." So now, 14, must have been about 14 years old or something. This is a very exciting now. You're going Umrah on your own, go to India, stay in Jalalabad, come back. All sounds very nice. I said, "Yeah, definitely, I'm going." Right? So Umrah, Alhamdulillah, all that went very good. Now when we reached Mewat, so I'm asking myself, what did I get myself involved in here? Where did I pitch up now? Mewat, it's not very easy ground, you know. I'm telling myself, where did I come? What did I get myself involved in here? So in the beginning, sometime, everything looks very exciting. But after you start it, then sometime you have second thoughts. Then you start getting second thoughts. So this is why itikaf, we make you make niyyat the first day, one time finish. If you get any second thoughts, anything, you can't change your mind, plus your vehicle also, parked it off, finish. So you can't have any change of heart and mind and all that. But khair, so this is why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had he told them in Madina Munawwara that, look, you're going to Nakhla, you prepared for it, now there, they would have said, yes, definitely. I mean, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there in the front. You all, you know, you all excited now. You're going on this expedition. You're going to say, yes, you want to go. But now after a few days of journey, when you start experiencing the difficulty of journey, etc., reality sets in, then maybe the opinion may just change. So this is why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now if he got them to commit here in Madina Munawwara, and after that they went against what they committed to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that would have been a serious offense. إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. Once the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made some decision, then nobody has got a choice of their own to say, now I want to change it. So out of compassion for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, open that after 2 days. So after 2 days the instruction is given. Now you make up your mind, you're not too far off from home. You're not too far off from home, you can return. Whoever wants to return, return. You know what you're up against now, you know what you're involved for. So if you want to return, you return. If not, and you want to carry on, you carry on. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, not one of them returned. Not one of them returned. Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, and he said to them, he read the letter out. And then he said to them, "I will not compel any of you to join me. But whoever loves martyrdom, you come with me." So whoever wants martyrdom, they never flowered anything, you know. See, you want martyrdom, come with me. Not one of them turned back. All of them joined him and they proceeded to Nakhla. In the old days, I'm talking about in the 80s, when Madrasa Zakaria had just, you know, started, then at that time, if a student wanted to go to Madrasa Zakaria, so you had to first go there for trials. Go and stay there for 1-2 weeks first, then you fill in an application form. So they will see whether you are Darul Uloom material, and you can see whether this is your cup of tea or not. Khair. Just a little background on Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala. He was one of the senior Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and he was amongst the first to embrace Islam. He also had the sa'adat of taking part in the Battle of Badr, which will come a little later. All this is a build up to the Battle of Badr now. So he took part in the Battle of Badr. He also made two hijrats. He had made hijrat to Abyssinia as well as hijrat to Medina Munawwara. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him as the leader of this Sariya, the words that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I will appoint such a leader over you who will exercise the most patience during hunger and thirst." In other words, he's very, very sabardar. Now, normally you get a person is very composed and everything, but let him be hungry or let there be severe thirst, after that all his sabar, everything is... But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with regards to him that he would exercise the most patience in a situation of hunger and thirst. Now during the Battle of Uhud, this is later on now, during the Battle of Uhud, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, his sword broke. While he was fighting, his sword broke. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a branch of a khajur tree. You know the khajur tree, how the branch is. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a branch. This branch, when he took it in his hands, it became a sword. Mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took this branch in his hand, it turned into a sword. And this sword later on, it may have been passed on, but later on in life, it was sold for 200 dirhams. It was a lot of big sum of money for a sword in those days, 200 dirhams. But because it was a mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it fetched that type of a price. During the Battle of Uhud, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala made dua for shahadat. Made dua that, "Ya Allah, grant me martyrdom." He was made shaheed at the hands of Abul Hakam bin Akhnas, and he was buried in the same qabr as Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyid al-Shuhada, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. So when we go to Uhud, generally we know the names of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Musab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala, but Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala is also buried there in that same maqbara, in that same qabristan, in the same qabr as Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Khair, when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom reached Nakhla, they met the caravan of the Quraysh under Amr bin al-Hazrami. They met one caravan under Amr bin Hazrami, which was returning from Syria. So Hazrat Waqid bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala fired an arrow at this caravan. He fired an arrow which struck and killed Amr bin Hazrami. So this was the first arrow, fatal arrow. One was the other arrow that was shot, but this is the first arrow that was shot, and this is the first person that was killed. The Muslims took possession of their wealth, because when he shot Amr bin Hazrami, the rest of them ran away. They didn't stand to fight. So the Muslims now took all the wealth, whatever booty was there in that caravan, and this was the first booty that came into Muslim hands. First war booty that came into Muslim hands. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, now there is some difference of opinion in this, in the seerah. Some say that this wealth was distributed there and then. In Islam, any booty that comes in, 1/5 of that booty must be kept aside. Whatever booty comes in, 1/5 must be kept aside. The 1/5 will go to the Baytul Mal. It will be given to, at that time, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, whoever is the Khalifa e Waqt, it will be given to him 1/5 to go to the Baytul Mal to use for, from the public treasury. Now it will be used for the upliftment of whatever the Amir sees fit. And the rest, 4/5, will be distributed amongst those who took part in the jihad. Now there is different ways how it must be distributed. If there is infantry, if there is cavalry, etc. So there are different amounts that must be given to cavalry, different ratio that must be given to infantry. But it will be distributed amongst those mujahideen. 1/5 will be given to the Baytul Mal. The other 4/5 will be distributed amongst the mujahideen. And there are other laws also, like the personal things on a person that you killed in battle. Now he had something personal on him. Now all that is all in the laws of fiqh. When we start making amal on jihad, then inshallah we'll know all these masail. Khair. So another opinion is, it's not here, but you read it in Suratul Anfal, the tafsir, that this booty wasn't distributed here. This booty was not distributed here. The whole booty was taken and given to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the battle of Badr, this booty was included with the booty of Badr, and then it was distributed. So Allahu A'lam, Allah Pak knows best exactly how it was done. So they then returned to Medina Munawwara and they informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this whole episode. The booty was still intact and in the possession of those who had participated in this expedition. Now, something that had happened here was, you see, the Quraysh, although they were mushrikeen, but there were few things from the Shariat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam which they held on to in their own lopsided way. In their own way, things got mixed up now from that time till the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But in certain ways they held on to certain practices from the Shariat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now one of the things was that the month of Rajab was known as a month for Umrah, right? And Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, these were months of Hajj. That you give enough time for the Hujjaj to travel from their homes, come to Makkah Mukarramah, make Hajj, and give them enough time to return. So these 4 months were regarded as sanctified months in the sense that no fighting must take place. No fighting must take place in these 4 months. Now they used to consider it like a major sin if any fighting took place in these 4 months. But then when they felt like a fight, when they felt like having a fight, then what they used to do, just swap the month. For example, now if it was the month of Rajab, now it's a month for Umrah. So now not supposed to be any fighting here, but now they want to fight now this month. So now they say, alright, you know what, let's swap, bring Shaban forward, take Rajab, put it that side. So we'll have a fight, and next month we'll make Rajab, won't fight next month. So they used to do their own thing with the calendar. But here, this was in their minds, that these 4 months you don't fight. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had dispatched these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, it was in the last days of Rabi'ul Thani. Right? No, Jamad al-Thani. The last days of Jamad al-Thani. So when they came across this caravan, it was already the first of Rajab. But they were unaware that the Hilal was sighted the night before. They were under the impression that it is still the 30th. They didn't know that the Hilal was sighted. There was no SMS, Jamiat sending out SMS. So they didn't know. Inshallah, you will know. If we cite it on the 29th, we'll tell you on the 29th, we won't leave you till the 30th. But here, if you are fortunate, then you'll have full 10 days. This depends on your fortune. If you are fortunate, Allah Pak will give you full 10 days. And if you are fortunate, you'll get 9 days. Both ways. Muslim don't lose anyway. Both ways, Muslim wins. So here, they didn't know it was the first of Rajab. They thought it was the 30th of Jamad al-Thani. And the skirmish took place and they shot that Amr bin Hazrami. So the Kuffar now started making a big uproar. Look at these Muslims now. They're fighting in the month of Umrah. So month, sanctified month, and they're fighting in this month. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of the Quran Sharif. The meaning of the ayat is here, that they question you about warfare in the sacred months. They're asking you about warfare in the sacred months. Say, warfare in these months is a grave matter. It's a bad thing to fight in the sanctified months. But to prevent people from Allah Ta'ala's way, to disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala, to prevent people from the Haram Sharif, to expel people from Makkah Mukarrama, these things are all greater sins in the sight of Allah. So, you know, in English they say, the pot, right, calling the scourer black, how it goes? The pot is calling the kettle black. They are doing so many wrong things, and now they're pointing fingers at this Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who, error of judgment, the meaning of this ayah was that just as it was a sin to fight during the sacred months, but it is a greater sin. Whatever they were doing is of greater sin. So when this ayat was revealed, these mujahideen now, they became a little bit worried that would they receive any sawab for this attack. Now imagine, you see, this is why there was no greed in them. Because if you think about it, I mean, they went, they got the booty and they came. Right? Now whether what those people are saying, let them carry on talking, maybe we got the booty and we came home. But when this Ayat-e-Karima was revealed, so they got worried. They said, okay, booty, everything, that came, but the sawab, what about the sawab? This was their concern. We never get shahadat, but at least we must get the sawab. So they got worried. Now, will there be any reward for this effort of theirs? So they asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah Ta'ala then revealed this Ayat-e-Karima, that verily those who have Iman, who migrate and who strive in the way of Allah, these have hope of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. So after the revelation of this ayah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed the distribution of the booty that Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala had carried out. 1/5 was placed in the Baytul Mal and the remainder was distributed amongst the Mujahideen. So this is where the difference comes about. Is this Ayat-e-Karima, was it revealed before the Battle of Badr or after the Battle of Badr? So khair. Another incident that took place during this expedition, the camel which Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Utba bin Ghazwan radiallahu ta'ala shared, this camel got lost en route. Now maybe when they send them out to graze or whatever, so this camel got, you know, it got lost. So they set out in search of their camel, and they didn't return to Madina Munawwara with the group. So it was on their return, on their return trip, their camel got lost. So now they went to look for this camel. And the rest of the group returned to Madina Munawwara. On the other hand,
the group of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had apprehended Hakam bin Qaisan and Usman bin Abdullah of the Kuffar. Right? They had caught these two people. The Quraysh sent ransom for their freedom. The Quraysh now wanted to ransom these two people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "We will not free the prisoners until our companions," that means Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Utba bin Ghazwan radiallahu ta'ala, return safely to us. Because they went to look for the camels. Now they don't know whether the Quraysh have apprehended them. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "If you have killed our companions, if you killed our companions, we will kill these two." Hazrat Sa'd and Hazrat Utba radiallahu anhuma later returned to Medina Munawwara. And once they returned to Medina Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set free the two kuffar. So there was total justice. On the one hand, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his intelligence, his foresight. These people were prepared to pay ransom. He didn't just free them. He said, "I give the ransom and go." Those two are going to look for a camel. No, he thought ahead. Maybe they are caught by the Quraysh. If they are caught by the Quraysh, we need to secure their release. But once they returned, then true to his word, he told them, "If our companions return safely, we will release them." Once the companions return safely, then he released them. We have to always be true to our word. Be true to our word, then people will have confidence in us. But we mustn't do it for people to have confidence. We'll just extend on that a little bit more just now. Hakam bin Khaisan. Now these two kuffar, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam released them. Right. This Hakam bin Khaisan, he didn't go back to Makkah Mukarramah. He is now becoming Muslim. He embraced Islam and he stayed away in Medina Munawwara. He stayed in Medina Munawwara and he was martyred during the battle of Bi'r Ma'una. He attained Shahadat. Usman bin Abdullah, he returned to Makkah Mukarrama and he passed away as a disbeliever. So just on this point here of being true to our word, one is in these type of situations, we have to be true to our word. The other is in our daily life. For example, if we told our children something, told our children that you behave, you'll get this or you'll get that or whatever. Now at that time probably the father just wanted to have his Saturday afternoon nap. Right? So he told them, you behave, I'll take you all in the evening for ice cream. For example, right? Now they behaved. They behaved. Now evening came, they're waiting for the ice cream. Now when they ask for the ice cream, we'll see tomorrow now, man. He's lazy now, he doesn't want to go. We'll see tomorrow. So once we do that, the child has lost confidence. His father of mine is a liar. He won't say it in that many words. But he will know that when my father talks, I mustn't take him seriously. When my father talks, I mustn't take him seriously. Because he'll say one thing now, after 1 hour his story will change, next 1 hour his story will change again. So I mustn't really take him seriously. So this is a downfall of ours. Whether it is with staff, whether it is with students, whether it is with our children,
whether it is with our wives, whatever. If we have given our word to something, then we must stick to that. This is such an important thing. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, in the Salana Jalsa in Ispingo Beach, I had to give a talk there when the year that I completed. So they had given me a time slot now. They tell you speak for half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever the time was. The Jalsa was supposed to finish at a certain time, but the Jalsa finished later, right? So I don't know who spoke or whatever, but Hazrat phoned me and he said, why you spoke? He asked me, did you speak over your time? So I told him, Hazrat, as far as I can remember, I don't think so, but I'm not 100% sure. So he said, you know, I hope you didn't delay the whole Jalsa. Now I was very, very worried. So I got hold of the CD and checked the whole talk, now how much it was. So if I can remember correctly, they had given me half an hour. And I spoke for 29 minutes, couple of seconds. So once I got the time, I phoned Hazrat, no Hazrat, Alhamdulillah. I managed to get the recording and this is the time. So he told me, no, Alhamdulillah, very good. After that he told me, he says, see, if you are given a time, you are asked to speak for a certain time, and now you go over the time, or if you stood up and you told the people, you will give a short talk, and now you start giving a long talk, now what have you done? He said, number one, you spoke a lie, because you told them short talk. Hey, you told them 30 minutes you're going to speak for. You went over the time, so you spoke a lie. Number two, your word is a promise, so you broke your promise. Number three, the time that they gave you was an amanat. You made khianat in that amanat. Every quality of a hypocrite is found in you. So every quality of a hypocrite has been found in you. So how important it is to keep to our word. Keep to our word. So that was in one thing, but you extend it to everything else. If we have given a commitment, I'll pay my rent on a certain date, we must keep to that. We must pay our rent on that date. If there is a problem, then go up to the person a day before, 2 days before, you know you're not going to make it. Go up to the person, "Bhai, I've got a problem. I can give you half. I can give you the other half by the middle of the month or something. I've got a problem this month. Forgive me." Now the man knows where he stands with you. But you don't give him anything. You don't even phone and tell him anything. You just keep quiet and just carry on. So, when you signed the agreement, you said you'd pay the rent on the 7th of each month or on the 1st of each month. Now you're going against that. Sometime it can happen. At least go up to the person and explain to the person your problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Sometime we falter when it comes to our... I always mention to my friends that if you have made an allowance amount for your wife, you're going to give a nafaka so much every week or every month. So when it comes to the garden boy, we make sure he must get it paid. The maid, she must get paid. Everybody must get paid. Light municipality must get their money. But the wife, her nafaka, you pull her 1 month, pull her 2 months. She don't really need it this month. Pull it another month. If she has to ask for it, what do you need it for? I'm keeping it for you. This is wrong. Imagine if the maid doesn't get paid, and you wanted to work another month, will she be able to work properly? She'll be frustrated, she'll be upset, she won't work properly. Now if you never give your wife her nafaka, next month she's frustrated. Now when she's not functioning properly, then we're going to get upset. But who caused it? We caused it.
Allah Pak give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.